There are two bumper stickers that relate to the difficult gospel we just heard read. I know bumper sticker theology is a risky place to begin a sermon, but here we are. It appears in this passage that Jesus is saying that some will soon be raptured and others will be left behind. It doesn't actually say that, but more on that in a moment. The Left Behind series of books and films and video games made immensely popular the notion that you'd better get your life straight or you won't get raptured out of this dim world and you'll be left to fend for yourself in the tribulation that is coming. The message being that if you're good enough, God will snatch you away without a moment's notice. That seems a scary proposition to me, but the bumper sticker that became popular in light of that rapture theology was this: warning, in case of rapture, the driver of this car will disappear. To which the rebuttal bumper sticker soon followed: when the rapture comes, can I have your car? Did you know that the word rapture never appears in our scriptures in the Bible? It's a figment of imaginative theology developed in the late 19th century by an Anglican priest, no less, John Nelson Darby, who extrapolated the apocalyptic book of Revelation and a few other passages, including this one from Matthew's gospel, and built a whole movement around the notion that some will get out of this hellhole of a world while others will suffer terribly because of their unfaithfulness. It had a sweeping impact on the growth of evangelical Christianity in this nation in the decades that followed. Fear can be a mighty motivating factor for the human spirit, even if it is theologically moribund. But what I want to suggest to you this morning, as we turn into our season of Advent, this time of preparation, of expectation, is that the core message of Matthew's 24th gospel, from which our gospel comes this morning, is not a threat, but a promise. The promise is the girding pronouncement that Christ will come again, full stop. This is the divine promise known as the parousia, a Greek term that has subversive implications. It was originally used in Imperial Rome to apply to the emperor who is just passing through town in royal procession on his way to his next military exploits, his next conquest. But for those early Christians, they took the term and turned it on their heads to have divine and eternal proportions. For us, parousia is the promise that Christ will come again to usher in God's reign of justice and peace rather than the next battle. In fact, God's reign of peace is actually the shalom that happens after the last battle is waged. Now, it's no secret in this place that I get pretty excited about the Greek text and getting down in the weeds with them and finding the layered meaning there. I want to share a little bit of my excitement about this this morning with this passage. First, parousia does mean the advent or the coming or the arrival of the dignitary, but it is never used in our scriptures for one just passing through on their way to other avenues of glory. It is used in our scriptures for the one who comes and stays, who dwells in our midst. For that reason, it's even translated in some places as presence rather than coming, because in the coming there is the presence. The Holy One joins us as the presence of God in our midst and invites us to practice presence in our own right. There's no need to escape. Which brings me to the nut of the matter and the two Greek verbs in the passage this morning, on which everything hinges. Where two are in the field or two women are grinding meal, and one will be taken and one will be left. The two verbs, to be taken, paralambano, and to be left, aphiemi. Now the left behind camp insists that these two are to be translated respectively as swept away and left behind. But as is often the case with the Greek in our scriptures, there are a range of meanings of these two verbs. And based on how they're used in other parts of the gospel, like the parable of the bridesmaids, it's just as likely that they are intended to mean the exact opposite of what they are suggesting. That the one taken is actually hauled off to prison, paralambano, or simply lost interest in what was going on and left, or wandered away and was lost to the group. Paralambano can mean any of those, but in all of them, the one who is taken away or who is gone is the poorer for it. And then the second verb, aphiemi, can mean the one who remains behind. But it's also used in our scriptures to describe the one who is forgiven. Who is forgiven and invited to come back within the fold. How beautiful is that? To not be left behind, but to be re-invited back in. Just before this passage in verse 31, Jesus tells his disciples in no uncertain terms that when he comes again, he will, quote, gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, and will come here. He will come to be present in our midst, and God's creation will be made new, not left behind. Friends, I know there are times for all of us when the weight of the world bears down and we want to escape. When weeks like this, when gun violence and our social ills and the dramatic and devastating effects of climate change all come together and bear down, it's not unreasonable to want to flee all of that. But God does not snatch us away from this. Thomas Merton wrote that true love never takes. It always gives and receives. It can only give and receive, or it's not true love. God is clear to assure us time and again of divine presence in this world, an encouragement for us to work for the healing of this world, not to escape it. So this is why we have this perhaps strange combination of preparing for the birth of the Christ child in Advent at Christmas and the preparation for the second coming of Christ in the end times. Barbara Brown Taylor once joked that the second coming of Christ was an idea cooked up by an early church father who only had two fingers left on his hand. So he just stopped with, Christ came as a baby, Christ comes at the end time, full stop, that's it. But the beautiful truth is that Christ comes again and again and again and again and again, right? Christ is always coming to us in the presence, in the present moment. Parousia and presence are two sides of the same coin. This is not about knowing when it will be. It is about living as if it is always here and now, and always has been, and always will be. The work for us is to notice Christ in our midst, to expect that Christ is always fulfilling his promise to us and to all creation, which is precisely why it's so brilliant that we in this season of Advent hold Christ coming again while expectantly waiting for the birth of the Christ child. So in this season, there is a pregnant hope in the practice of presence, of watchfulness. There is a pregnant hope in the quickening experience of Christ moving in our lives here and now. There is a pregnant hope in noticing the changes in us, in the body, that are shaped by the imminent arrival of new birth. And with that beautiful hope, we make our prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, come and dwell among us." May it be so.